Welcome back to another episode of The Starting Block. And we all come from somewhere. We all have our influences. In some cases, we straight copied other people in order to become the accomplished creatives that we are today. And I thought that would be something fun to discuss. When I was a kid, you can almost track it, like, completely. When I was a kid, you know, I wanted to be a cartoonist. And I remember imitating Bill Keane of the Family Circus and Charles Schulz. I remember imitating the artists in Mad Magazine, Dave Berg and Don Martin. I remember discovering comic artists and wanting to draw like Neil Adams and Jack Kirby. I went through a real serious Howard Chaykin phase. Believe it or not, even though Chaykin thinks his early work was shit, I didn't at the time. Chaykin actually led me to Baron Story and Alex Toth. I remember imitating John Byrne. Just tons and tons of artists. I had even gotten to the point where I could imitate certain artists' signatures. I could do a great Walt Simonson, that dinosaur signature of his, Bill Sienkiewicz's signature, Howard Chaykin's initials. I remember giving my friend Pat a birthday card, and Pat's a big comic book fan, and I remember giving my friend Pat a birthday card, and I signed it by all of the great comic book artists that we loved, and he thought it was hilarious, and I think he still has that to this day. I hope he never unearths it and scans it and puts it online. But anyway, we all come from somewhere, and so I invited three people on the show to talk about that. My friends, Travis Lewis, Eric Wilkerson, and Stephen Green, all jumped on the mics and told a little bit about themselves and where they come from and who and what influenced them, and they were terrific for doing so. So I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, my name is Travis Lewis. I'm a professional artist working on the darker side of the imaginative realism genre, and I'm here to talk about some of my early influences. I tried to narrow it down to just one, but decided to take you on a tour of young Travis's artistic life. I've been asked before what my earliest artistic influence was. I always say the same thing, and that's Walt Disney. I think a lot of people are surprised at that answer. People who know my work in particular expect me to say H.R. Giger or Mary Shelley or Frank Frazetta or H.P. Lovecraft. All of those people, of course, have been influences. You can't do what I do and not be influenced by those folks. But they didn't come until later. My earliest memories of drawing and enjoying the act of drawing and realizing that if I just drew the same thing over and over, I would get better at it eventually, was watching Walt Disney, The Wonderful World of Disney, on Sunday nights. I just absolutely couldn't wait for Sunday night to see Uncle Walt introduce whatever this week's show was going to be. And some weeks it would be a cartoon, and some weeks it would be a live-action movie. And it didn't matter. I would just sit there and try to draw what I saw. I had all my comics and books spread out on the shag carpet before me, and would just spend a little while drawing. And loved it. Like I say, my earliest influence. That would have been in the 1974, 1975 range. I'm an old dude. That held me over for a little while, until I was 7 years old. That would be 1977, when something pretty miraculous happened in my life. I went and saw Star Wars in the movie theater, and from that moment on, my life pretty much changed. My art certainly changed. I realized at that time that, my drawings went from Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck to the Millennium Falcon and TIE Fighters and R2-D2 and creatures. I was designing these monsters that didn't exist in real life and hadn't existed for me before I saw Star Wars. It's hard for me to overstate the influence that Star Wars had on me. Pardon me. Keep in mind, this is 1977. I saw Star Wars in the theater. I saw it one time. This was before the days of TiVo and Blu-ray and gosh, VHS even. So you had kind of one chance. And I remember seeing it. And shortly after then, acquiring a couple of magazines and a book or two that had still images from Star Wars. that kept me going. You know, we had a couple of years until The Empire Strikes Back came out, and none of us even knew that that was going to happen for sure, you know. No internet to let us know. We couldn't keep up. There were no teaser trailers. Sorry, that's my cat. So that kept me going for a couple of years. And then another pretty miraculous thing happened to me, or to my town, a very small town in Ohio. And that's that we got a comic book shop. I'm guessing 1984 or 1985, comic shop opened. And that allowed me to be exposed to the wide world of comic books. Before then, we had a grocery store, and it had a small comic rack. But it didn't have, you know, X-Men comics. It didn't have Batman comics. It had the family-friendly Richie Rich and Archie and, again, Mickey Mouse and those kind of comics that I loved. But when I was introduced to more adult comics, or more comics that were geared more to someone my age, 14 or 15 years old at that time, it really took off for me. I became a comics lover, still am to this day. The hinge pin of all that was walking into the shop one day and seeing a book by Stan Lee and John Buscema called How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way. It was more money than I had at that time. I actually couldn't walk out of the store with it. I had to put it on sort of a layaway and pick it up a couple of weeks later. But that book I would credit as my single biggest influence in the academics of artwork. Proportion, anatomy, perspective, line weight, facial structure, facial expressions. I must have drawn 10,000 comic faces and trying to get the expressions right. So for a guy like me without any formal art training outside of middle school or high school, that was my biggest and still is. I still have that book somewhere. It's in a box or on a bookshelf here somewhere. I haven't looked at it in years, but I remember every single page of it. Like I just memorized it. So those are the big three, I would say. There have certainly been influences since then, but if we're talking about young Travis and early influences, those would be them.
Hello, Muddy Colors community. Stephen Green here, artist for Hellboy and the BPRD, and now Sea of Stars from Image Comics. I was introduced to the world of art through comics when I first started to be an artist myself in earnest. I remember copying guys like Ed McGuinness, Ryan Ottley. They're both amazing draftsmen, but I only saw what they were doing on the surface level. The anatomy and maybe some mark-making techniques. Storytelling, composition, perspective. That kind of thinking, it eluded me early on. I just wanted to draw Batman superhero stuff. As I learned more about art, I tried to understand things more in a deeper way, beyond the surface level. The drama of Frazetta and Jeff Jones, or the kinetic power of the work by Eric Canetti or Bruce Timm, maybe. I'd always loved Mike Mignola's work. I thought the shape language choices were bizarre when I was a kid, but it always stood out to me. Later, I learned that I loved his graphic interpretations of form, his brilliant designs, his unparalleled creation of mood and weight. I'm still amazed and still trying to reverse engineer how he could so brilliantly make pictures with such a simple line. I remember being at Sanford Green Studio, and he pulled a Claire Wendling book off the shelf. I knew it was really exquisite, but I didn't know why I loved it so much at the time. Over the years, my obsession with her work has proliferated, and the amount of information she can convey with one simple line is, it's kind of without peer, in my opinion. The delicate beauty she shows, even when she's drawing beasts or demons, is always fascinating to me. My work has gotten much curvier because of looking at her work. A lot less angular type figure drawing. And, you know, more graceful line work is kind of what I'm trying to do. Mignola and Wendling, I would say those are my two all-time favorites. I'd also throw in Andrew Robinson and Metal Gear Solid's Yoji Shinkawa. The way they can juggle tight and loose line work in the same piece that reads as both truthful and full of life and energy never fails to get me excited. I'm always trying to synthesize the styles of all these people I've listed. But ultimately, I know that each one of them has a remarkably solid understanding of the fundamentals, which also inspires me to study even more deeply.
Okay, hi, my name is Eric Wilkerson. I'm a sci-fi illustrator, concept artist, and digital illustration instructor. So my earliest influence for what I do today is Star Trek. My dad took me to see Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, when I was a kid. And right below Tron Legacy, it's probably the dopest movie I've ever seen. And then the following year, Next Generation came on, and I was immediately and forever hooked on science fiction. So you want to know who the most important character on that show was and who was also a huge inspiration to me? Geordi LaForge. Here's this positive black character 400 years in the future, saving the day numerous times per season. And he's on this top-of-the-line cruise ship in space, and there's always some coolant leak or warp core breach or some anomaly that needs fixing, and who's got to fix it? You know what would happen if Geordi said, "Nah, I don't want to go to work today. I don't feel like it. I'm just going to hang out with my holographic girlfriend all day." That ship would blow up. Or everybody get assimilated. Or be permanently stuck in like 1940. Whatever the hell. My takeaway from Geordi's character and Worf's was, just because you don't see a large number of people like you doing what you're passionate about doesn't mean you shouldn't try. All right, now that I got that out of my system, hey man, you asked for this. As far as artistic influences are concerned, when I was around 10 years old, I was teaching myself how to draw by copying comic book art. And specifically the Superman work of Jerry Ordway, John Byrne, and Dan Jurgens. But in the spring of 91, a friend of mine in junior high showed me a copy of Uncanny X-Men issue 275. Man, I remember that. Which it introduced me to the work of Jim Lee. And we would spend hours in the library copying his work, copying like covers, the pages, and coming up with our own characters. Then later that year, another artist took over Uncanny X-Men, and I saw the work of Will Sportacio for the first time. And his work made me want to be a comic book artist. That's what I actually went to college for. What I enrolled in college for, into the cartooning department, because I wanted to draw comics for a living. I was also heavily inspired by artists like Travis Charest and a lot of the anime that I was collecting through the mid-90s. So I was introduced to artists like Masamune Shiro, Sadamoto Yoshiyuki, the early Miyazaki films, and practically anything that came out of Gainax Productions. So I'm really on the other end of the spectrum from people that turn their passion for Tolkien into a career as a magic artist or something like that. So every artist starts off copying or being inspired by another artist. It's like learning the walk or training to be a pro athlete. You need to start somewhere. So copying helps strengthen our cognitive abilities as artists, but it also limits our understanding of the elements of art and the reasons behind the choices the original artist made in their work. So long before I learned how to paint in college by doing master copies and spending countless hours working on my craft, Star Trek, comic books, and anime sparked the interest. And that's it.